I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Happy Memorial Day, Mr. Frank.
I don't know what that's from. Sorry.
It's from Parade. The girl dies.
Yes. Yes. Have I seen Parade? I've seen Parade.
I don't think I've ever seen Parade.
I have seen Parade. Parade's beautiful.
Yeah. I've seen a parade.
I have also seen a parade. I have actually seen several.
Yeah. What's your favorite parade you've ever seen?
The Rose Festival Parade in Portland that happens every year.
You're going to Portland?
I am. Not until July, but I am indeed. I'm very excited. I have not been home to Portland in over 3 years.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. I cannot believe it's been that long.
What are you most excited to do?
I am really going to stay and help my mom pack her house up. But I'm excited to see my friend Hannah and be back in Portland and eat Portland food. How was your Memorial Day?
It was good. I went to Connecticut, aka the happy place, where I slept on a windowsill that is now known as the Brook Nook. And I
saw that coming.
It is so comfy, and it is the best place for me. I was like, oh, is there a bed available? I'll sleep in the library.
Nooks are applicable to this episode, too.
This is an episode I've seen many, many times.
I don't know if it's just because I'm in a bad mood, but I disliked every single person in this episode.
Oh, trash people.
Across the board, all of them.
Yeah.
Like stopped watching it multiple times because I was so annoyed.
That's funny that you say that you're in a bad mood because I'm also in a bad mood.
I'm so weird.
So, like, tell us what you think about, like, angry splat.
I don't know if it'll be angry or just depressing.
That's fair.
It may be depressing the rest of the time, to be fair. So, yeah. Who knows?
I mean, we're pretty much, we're transparent as we can be about what
we are indeed.
Which I feel like you appreciate, and that's why you come back. Why does it say that I'm in Cupertino? Where even is Cupertino? Is it in California?
I have no idea. I do not think so. I think it would say.
So a new tradition that seems to be popping up for me over the holidays, this is the second one, the first being Passover, is that maybe Catfish Ryan will text me wishing me a happy holiday.
Just on the weird ones.
Whatever the holiday is.
Fun. That's
so
exciting.
So I got it. Well, Big weekend of
texting.
Apparently I missed a text from him from like April that was like, what's up? And then I got a text from him that was just...
Did you really miss anything, though?
No. I just mean it's always a fun opportunity to see what crazy people can say. So he goes, just hey. And I was like...
Dang.
Hey. I was like, you know what?
This was on Monday, on the Mem's Day?
This was yesterday at 7.
Oh, wow. He really waited to the nick of time.
Yeah. He asked how I was. He was in the Hamptons. He goes, so when are you buying me a drink? I said, LOL. He goes, I thought I was worth a Cosmo. I said, oh, that's very Sex in the City of you.
It is indeed.
And he goes, the sex part never seemed like a problem with us. Meeting in the city was. Which, again, I'm always like.
Not like you actually had any sex either.
I'm always just like, he has created this really healthy, thriving sex life for us that he just loves to be like, throw it in my face and be like, remember all the good sex we had? And I'm like, no, because I still don't know who you are.
We've still never seen each other.
So he just continues to be a source of ridiculous joy in my life.
Good. I'm so glad. Everyone needs a little ridiculous joy, you know? It's a good thing to have.
I'll never meet him. I don't think I ever will meet him.
No, definitely not. You can't at this point.
Yeah. Should I invite him to my birthday party and just see if he shows up?
No, you should invite him to your intimate friend's birthday dinner beforehand.
He just walks in and we're like round
table. This is my Maria. We're dating.
My Maria. A good reference, Bridget. Mm,
thank you. Thank you. I do indeed remember the plot of this show 2 episodes ago. Impressive.
Impressive. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke. Hi, everybody.
Hello. Welcome to Splat the Podcast. Where me, Brooke.
And me, Bridget.
Talk about
Sex and the city.
10 years younger.
And 20 years later. Seamless. Look at that. You just took it.
I got it.
And I dropped a reference to your favorite restaurant.
My favorite restaurant. All Source, the restaurants.
All of them. Seamless is your favorite restaurant.
Seamless needs. Do you see the scattering of LaCroix around my apartment?
I do indeed.
There were seven out because
I only see one.
There's two here. I put 4 in the recycling before you got
beautifully
got here.
Beautifully.
Beautifully.
How are you all doing today? Good, I hope.
Oh, good to hear.
That is so nice to hear, unless you said that you weren't doing well.
In which case, pause, answer again. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Man, that really sucks, dude.
It'll get better, I think.
Yeah, deep breath, night of sleep, everything looks better in the morning. We love you.
Never go to bed angry, even with yourself.
That seems hard to do.
Never go to bed angry with yourself?
Yeah, no. That's usually my last resort when I'm like, I just have to shut my brain down. I'm going to take a melatonin and deal with this emotional crisis soup in the morning.
Ooh, emotional crisis soup. I bet those are great leftovers.
Yeah, you have to heat them up a lot because otherwise you get food poisoning pretty easily. But
I feel like I've been doing emotional crisis meal prep. So it's just sort of like I have a little bit every day and I'm ready to like dole it out throughout the week.
Nice. Yeah. Make it nice and manageable.
Yeah. Speaking of emotional crises,
let's watch some annoying people do really annoying things. Yeah. Honestly, this is a high school plot that 35-year-olds are acting out.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great.
Everything, this was a hard episode for me. I understand that that's like kind of the genius of it also. And that like this is what makes them interesting. But man, everyone's insufferable from the literal jump, except Miranda. Miranda's honestly the only one who makes any sense, which is why
I know.
I stand by her fully still.
She really like is the only one. I did appreciate, so there are a lot of fights that happen throughout this episode.
A lot of fighting. It's a fight-heavy episode.
And I do appreciate that, like, I'm really bad at confrontation. Like, really, really bad. Like, paralyzingly so.
Yeah.
So I appreciate, like, I'm the one to be like, oh, I'm sorry if I did something that you made me mad at me about.
Oh, I'm a huge minimizer. I will take responsibility for things that are in no way my fault just right. to smooth the situation over.
And so then in this episode, you sort of get some like, you've been a shitty friend. And I think.
Yeah, it's Miranda does a lot of that because I don't think Charlotte's justified in her version of it.
No. So time and punishment. This fucking scenario title.
Time and punishment.
Was also like super.
This is like a technology thing that we don't have to deal with anymore.
Not true. It's just different. It's a text instead of a phone call.
Well, I agree, but this would not happen because the
answering machine.
They literally have to listen. So Aiden and Carrie are having sex. They're like way back in there, very physical, very into each other thing. And Big calls and leaves a voice message. And because it's a home phone, they actually have to listen to him leaving the voice message, which is like, hey, babe, back in town. Like, call me.
And they continue to have sex.
They pause and then Aiden's like, yep, all fine. And so they finish.
I have to
sex.
Tell you that this scene really killed me because she was like, something happened. And they go, something bad. And she was like, I was having sex. And they're like, something bad. And the whole time I was like, Brooke, come on, don't do it. But the whole time I was like, something bad.
Oh, that's funny. That was not what I thought at all. What I thought was really funny is that she said, Big called while Aiden and I were making love. I was like, oh, do you call sex making love when it's with a boyfriend, Carrie? Is that the difference?
Do you think she calls it making love with anybody all the time, always? Do you think you've ever
made... I super fucking hope not.
Do you think you've ever made love?
Yeah, like maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
But to me, that feels like a way more specific connotation than just saying having sex.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you and Nathan were making love, were you?
Oh.
Making love in the afternoon with Cecilia up in my bedroom. That is from the song that was my favorite song from the ages 5 to 8, which is Cecilia by Simon and Garfunkel. And then when I found out that making love was a euphemism for sex, I refused to sing it anymore because I was so scandalized.
Scandalo.
When my mom told me what sex, gave me the sex talk, I was pretty young. I was, I think, 6 or 7. And I remember it came up for various reasons. Like, it had to happen at the time. But I was so, like, horrified by the idea of it. I thought it was something you would definitely only do, like, as a, like, you must do it to make kids and that's it. And I remember immediately after the trip on which she told me this, sitting at home flipping through a magazine and every adult person in a photo, I said, if she has kids, she's had sex. If he has kids, he's had sex. That's like every adult in the magazine.
So funny.
So when I found out that making love was sex, boo.
Well, I wanted to be a stripper when I was 8 because yes. The first musical that I was in was Gypsy.
Classic.
And so I was like,
really brings a certain amount of charm to it.
Just like Gypsy Rosalie. Yes, and they're like, course. You know that she took her clothes off for a living. I'm like, what amazing.
What's a living? Wow. It looks fun.
Yay. She's a performer.
Uh-huh. That's where the dream started.
And here I am taking my clothes off on the weekends at 9 and 11. Indeed. Down in the village.
Yes. No, do go down to the village and find Brooke. Street corners. It's where you'll find her.
I like to reenact out tonight through all the avenues in Alphabet City.
That's right. In lingerie.
Where the Spanish babies cry. Wait, I was going to say something else, and I'm sorry that I forgot it.
It's okay. I started talking about making love. You were talking about something bad.
Is happening in us. You're welcome for all that creechy little noise I made. Mm-hmm. I had this weird breakfast. It wasn't weird. I had breakfast on Saturday with my estranged aunt and her husband, who I haven't seen since I was an actual baby. And they were like, I was like, hi, Carolyn. Like, I'd seen Carolyn since high school. But I hadn't seen this guy, her husband, who isn't my uncle, since I was a literal baby. And I was like, nice to meet you. And he's like, we've met. And I was like, oh, have we? And he was like, you were little. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he's like, Barney. And I was like, the dog? And he's like, the dinosaur. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I did like Barney, the dinosaur, when I was
2-year-old.
One. And then, but the weird thing is that he did remember. He was like, and that Billy Joel song. Because the first song I've ever sang and like ever, my favorite song is In the Middle of the Night, River of Dreams. And I used to be a little baby going, in the middle
of the night. That's so cute.
And I was like, you remember that?
So there you go. Look at him.
Yeah, it was weird. It was just weird to have like family, like people who you are like have blood related to be like, it's so nice to, I hope we get to know each other. I was just like, oh.
You know what's funny? That's most of my relationships with my extended family.
Me too.
I like... don't have extended family.
No, we are 5 for all forever from now on, pretty much.
Dang. Well, ours went from 5 to 4, and then we were 4 forever. I once, sophomore year of high school, had to call my sister. I snuck out of Spanish class and had to call her to ask her our cousins' names because we were doing a family tree, and I was going to be graded really badly if I couldn't remember my cousins' names.
That's like a weird thing to be graded poorly on.
Well, I just like... we were just doing them in class and had to turn them in. And I was like, I can't just not fill this out. I guess I could make names up for them.
When I was in high school, my best friend, Hannah,
I never would have done that in high school. I wouldn't have lied.
We had plotted. I was like, I'm going to run away and I'm going to find my long lost family.
As if you didn't fit right into your family.
not my long, like, I knew I belonged to my family. There was no doubt in my mind that I was ever a product of the family that I'm in. Anyway.
So Carrie tells them what's happened, and they're like, yeah, that is a not great thing. Fair enough. Because it is really awkward and uncomfortable. And they were like, you finished having sex afterwards? She was like, yeah.
No, we kept making love.
She tells them that she finished also, meaning she had an orgasm. And she was like, yeah, and I worked harder for it than for my SATs. Which I was also like, dang.
I haven't worked that hard. Yeah.
If it takes that much work, I don't even know.
Charlotte's like, did you talk about it? And Carrie's like, nope.
We went to sleep, which means, of course, it's going to be weird.
And she's like, when I woke up, he was on the other side of the bed. Usually he sleeps right next to me, you know, like right here, and I get his little nook. This nook thing is something.
She like gets in his nook, meaning like she, you know, tucks up because she's tiny and he's huge.
You know,
huge.
Like the crevice in a man's chest.
And like other under his neck where she can like tuck her head.
So, fun fact, growing up, being 11, mm-hmm. watching this show, mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's how he gets sleep. If you don't sleep in the nook.
Oh,
the
it world- doesn't work that way. Oh, like literally sleeping doesn't work. It's so crazy.
But I was like, this is how I have to do it. The first time I slept, I was like, okay, all right, here I go. And then I was like, I don't like the sound of heartbeats when I'm sleeping.
It's freaky. Also, it's uncomfortable to have your head weirdly like elevated in that. And you then, have like, to where hit does it just his right.
arm go?
Yeah, I know that too.
Sleeping. We've talked about this on the pod before. Yeah, we've
talked about this extensively.
Just like, give me a kiss goodnight. Give me a...
We can cuddle and snuggle before bed.
Till we talk. Pillow talk.
I like a like entwined legs thing I'm fine for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like then I'm like, okay, bye.
Yeah. And Carrie's like, well, now he thinks that, you know, Big called me to start affair number two. And she's like, I was just trying to start fresh. And now we're going to have to talk about this.
But she's not going to be able to start fresh with Aiden if the fact with the fact that Big is in her life. And that's just something that she like isn't coming to terms. Like,
no,
she has no concept of that.
No, nor does she have has she thought about the fact that if she keeps both of them in her life, this will become an issue again at some point.
Yeah.
Of course it will.
Okay. Charlotte is just eating. Is there cheese?
I think there's mozzarella on there. Because
I was like, what?
If she's just getting tomatoes, that's, yeah.
Tomatoes.
Samantha literally gets a fruit salad, which is just like grapes in a bowl, basically. And so Charlotte's like, can I change the subject? And Carrie says, I'll pay you $1 million too.
Everyone, there's cheese.
There's cheese. Carrie's like, I'll pay you $1 million too. And she says, I'm thinking about stopping working. And they're all like, wait, what? What's happening? And she's like, well,
She said, we've been thinking about having kids. And Trey suggested that. And Miranda
jumps on that. She says, Trey suggested. And Miranda's like, well, not Miranda.
Charlotte.
Charlotte says, you know, like, I've been running so ragged, just trying to make sure everything gets done. And it just, like, why should I be so out of my mind crazy when I could just, you know, quit and be, you know, start the rest of my life.
And she's like, what has the gallery ever done for me? And she's like, you love
They all say, gallery. You love your job, which is something we've known about Charlotte from day one.
She wants to color me mine.
She's like, I'm going to be huge soon. I'm going to be pregnant. And I'm redecorating the apartment. And sometimes I walk by a color me mine, which is one of those painting pottery places in the city. And I see a woman painting her bowl. And I just think, I deserve that. And she wants to volunteer for Trey's hospital for the pediatric AIDS ward. So, like, she has some plans, but her friends are rightfully like, hang on, you're going to do what now?
Also, like, for color me mine?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, come on. It's one thing if you just want to stay home with your babies, say, I'm going to get pregnant and I want to focus on that. Don't pretend like you want to go do some pottery for an afternoon.
A woman who I'm very close to who's, like, very smart and very capable and, like, had a high-paying job was like, I want to stay home and take care of my children and, like... I think that she's an amazing mom.
And yeah. Charlotte says later, and we'll talk about it more then, that like it's a choice, you know, and it is. And for a lot of people, it's valid. It sucks that sometimes it has to be a
but
choice.
But it also just feels like this is so Trey driven and not Charlotte driven.
Well, it's also just so like so deeply privileged.
Oh, yeah.
That just because you want to, you can stop working and go do Color Me Mine and redecorate a place. Like clearly her income has no... meaning to her.
So later that day, Carrie got to thinking about lobotomies and relationships and how they're different ideas, but maybe they're the same, like chocolate and peanut butter.
Like,
you know?
But basically, what she's saying is for a relationship or to ever truly forgive, you have to forget. Or she's saying, can you forgive without forgetting? And the idea of a lobotomy in a relationship is like, just, you know, you could conveniently forget about the stuff. And it's
this is also so terrible. Specific to like, getting back together with like to this scenario.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's specific to being with someone who there are past transgressions with, because if it's really just in the course of your relationship having to forget, that's like that's crazy. That's like click remoting your relationships.
Yeah. Can you forgive if you can't forget? Yeah. And I think
definitely. Oh. I think that's what forgiveness is an acknowledgement that the thing happened, but that you're going to move forward with your lives. I think often people don't actually fully forgive, and that's where, but there are people who are, I'm a grudge holder. I'm not great at that, but
I'm not either. I hold on things for so
long. And even when I say I'm not anymore, so I fall in the bad category there, but there are people who can genuinely forgive. And if you're going to do that in a relationship, you cannot do what the entire plot of this episode is.
Yeah. I mean, it would be like one thing. I think it's interesting that that Aiden is the only other person we've seen Carrie in a relationship with. Like, I would wonder, like, what this would look like if it were with a different man. And, like, we will, of course, but there's obviously, like, stuff's going to go down. But, like...
Right.
Like, if Carrie was with a completely new person and she still had the weight of Big, and, like, because with any, if she's planning on keeping Big in her life.
I mean, that's the thing. It's just going to be, like, the same cycle could just happen over and over with
right.
whomever.
It's obviously important to her to keep Big in her life, but she's going to have to eventually introduce Big to whatever partner she's with.
Or Big is going to, she knows Big can't handle her seeing other people. Like, he's going to make himself an issue, and at some point, like, you have to ask yourself why you're not letting go of him if you're in a real relationship with someone else.
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah, well, it's one thing to say, like, we're friends now, you know, and I want to keep a friendship. But I don't know. Like, I think it's reasonable for partners to have concerns about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Samantha's dumb plot is that at the top of things she hates are someone
taking her cab.
And a smarmy businessman gets in her cab, and then the light changes, so she goes over and opens the door and gets in, and she tells the driver where she wants to go and is like, I hope you enjoy the ride. So obviously they end up fucking because
it's
she's hot and Samantha and he's a, you know, hot businessman, and they barely get their clothes off and they hook up. They're back at Samantha's place. It's exactly what you think this plot is going to be, the end. In a far less friendly bed uptown, I was even farther from the nook.
Yeah, he like his like
as far away from her as he can be sleeping, which also is just like pretty normal in the morning that you've slept elsewhere.
Yeah.
But she like wakes him up and rolls him over, cuddles. He's like, 8:10, I got to get to the gym. She says, you don't have to get to the gym right now. And he says, do you want me to get all soft again?
Which is like, whoa.
I know.
And then we've spent a lot of time like talking about how Aiden was like chubby and now he's not.
Well, and now they're addressing it. But he's also, she says, I liked you chubby. And it's like, well, that's probably true. But you also told all your friends he's way hotter now. So yeah. She says, so he gets out of bed and she's like, okay, he's not forgiving or forgetting anything.
Does she call?
Now, the weirdest thing happens.
She calls Miranda.
She being Charlotte. Charlotte calls Miranda.
And she's like, you were very judgmental at the coffee shop.
Yesterday.
Like, no.
No introduction to anything. And Miranda, understandably, is like, wait, what? And Charlotte's like, you think I'm going to be one of those women? And Miranda says, what women? She says, one of those women who just works until they get married. You're being so judgmental. And Miranda's like, dude, it's 8:15 in the morning. Like, I haven't even had coffee yet. So Charlotte goes off on this whole thing about how the women's movement is about making a choice, and it's her choice. She's making a choice for her, not because of Trey, but she's making a choice
to
quit. She keeps
saying that she chooses her choices.
And
choose my choices. It's like, okay, calm down, bitch.
Miranda's like, I don't have any problem with you quitting your job, because it comes out that she's interviewing her replacements for the gallery and that she's freaking out about it, and that she's like, you have to support me in this. And Miranda says, if you're freaking out about leaving your job, maybe you should talk to your husband about that. And Charlotte's like, there it goes. Husband. It's not a problem that I have a husband. Miranda's like, no, it's not. I'm hanging up. And then Charlotte ropes her back in, and Miranda ends up being like,
Charlotte's like, I'm going to do important things like have a baby and help
cure AIDS.
And she's like, and Miranda's like, fine. Okay, you know what?
You cure AIDS, dude.
And you come back to me when you have a ceramic, beautiful ceramic mug with Trey's name on it. She's like, Charlotte, I don't have time for this. I have to go to work, because some people still have to go to work.
And I choose Charlotte says, I choose my choice. When Miranda makes the dig about the mug, she says, you take that back. She's just like so aggressive, and clearly she's freaking out about it.
It's all
because
projection.
She keeps saying, I need you to support me. And it's like,
maybe Trey should be the one supporting you.
Yeah. And also, why do you need your friends to be into this so much?
And then Miranda like goes to like zhuzh her hair with a towel and like
totally fucks her neck
fucks
and back
her
up.
Neck up, and she's like, fuck,
like in real pain, especially after what a terrible like conversation, and then that to be the result of it.
I hate when they choose to just shit on Miranda.
Well, it's just like, she's the only rational one, which is I think why it happens.
Yeah,
because they have to make her like, I don't know. So Carrie's like,
man,
fresh juice. Yes, very.
So she comes
in
her skirt and her bra, and she's like, I got Aiden fresh juice. And by ran down to the Korean, I think she means the deli.
I think she did. but she certainly didn't run down like that. And then she, something is up with her back.
Also, this
No. They're her nicotine patches.
Okay. So this is just like a weird thing I noticed. And like, tell me if this is not a weird thing. So Aiden is presumably has just showered. And he takes the Q-tip and he like puts it in his ear, but he like puts it in his mouth first. Is that a thing? To like lubricate a Q-tip? Oh. I feel like the whole point of doing it after the shower is
because it's already lubricated.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe that's just like a weird thing that John Corbett does. Mm. And so he did automatically. I don't think that was probably an acting choice.
Yeah, so Carrie's like, I have a meeting with my editor. It's a two-patch day. And Aiden like slaps them on her.
Well, it is a little bit weird. Like what... Clearly, she doesn't actually need his help for it.
Yeah.
It's one of those. She's like really forcing him to spend time with her and interact with her and talk to her. And he, I'm sure, is already trying to, you know, yeah, he really smacks it onto her back, which it's is.
I just want to make sure I got it in there. But she says that kind of hurt. Aiden is also doing that guy thing where he's like being moody and not.
But pretending he's not. Yeah. No one comes off well in this episode. Like he is just as annoying as she is.
Because he's like still spending all this time with her. He's just like brooding about. And it's like.
Well, it's like either be with her and be happy or don't. Obviously, you have some things to work through. And obviously, you were not expecting Big to call while you were guys were having sex. And she's but then like, talk about it.
And then she asks, she's like, are you mad at me? And he's like, why would I be mad at you? Like, move.
And she's like, about the other night. And he says, what the fuck?
This milk.
Goddamn milk is bad. He's like clearly reacting. You just fucking let it sit in her here. Like, he's kind of just going off on her a little bit. I'm thinking about how much tacky, tacky jewelry Carrie Bradshaw made people buy during the 2000s.
Uh-huh.
So much fashion makes sense.
So much flowers.
Even these, like, the whole thing of having, like, a bronze and a silver and a gold necklace.
Oh, my gosh.
Ugly, ugly.
I don't know why. I guess because it's horseshoes. Did you ever play Barbie Riding Club?
Definitely not. Anything like that. I was not.
So I used to play it. That's all. This reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about Barbie Riding Club more in the past 2 weeks than
I have. You do this, though. You think about a thing from your past, and then you get determined to, like, find it.
Yeah.
You get, like, nostalgic.
I've just been thinking about it. It's, like, the second time I've been like, oh, this reminds me of that.
That's funny. And she offers to take Pete out, and he's like, you don't like walking dogs. She's like, yeah, but if you love Pete, I love Pete. That's just the kind of girlfriend I am. Here's the thing is, like, he is clearly being a butt and not talking to her. She pushes and pushes and pushes. She does not have an off button. He like so clearly does not really want to be doing this thing with her right now.
This is my fear about myself. That I'm like, oh,
I think you're a people reader though. And your fear about making this worse would make you
not do it. Yeah.
She's like, I want to take you out to dinner. And he's like, I'm having a guy's night. And she's like, well, is it a guy's night girlfriends can go to? Which again, stop pushing. Clearly he doesn't want to hang out with you tonight. And asking if you can come to a guy's night seems like a classic way to just make that worse.
It makes me think of that scene in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Mm-hmm.
Where she shows up.
Yeah. And he's like, come, don't come, I don't care. And she's like, fine, I won't. I won't come.
And the phone rings.
And it's Miranda. And Miranda's like, I am in agony and I need you to come here now. Thank you.
And she drops the phone
before she can hang it up.
But Carrie has this meeting with her editor, so she asks Aiden to go get her, which is just like Carrie.
Call her back and be like, I have a meeting with fucking call Charlotte. You're in a fight.
Or
but
Samantha.
Like,
any of them.
Yeah, any of them would be
don't
able to.
Don't send your fucking boyfriend.
No, it's
I
not.
I would be, if I were Miranda.
I would have been, yeah.
And this happened to me, I would be so
mad.
Or
just call her back and say, I can't do it, but Aiden's going to come help you. Because then Miranda would have a moment to say no or something.
Well,
so poor Miranda.
Like, she's like naked on her bathroom, like the most demoralizing position that she
because,
could be in.
So her neck has hurt so badly that the only way she's figured out that she can do it is if she just lays down. And so she is, her towel has fallen off. So she is naked laying on her bath mat.
Expecting her best friend to come. Look at her cutie
and
little
Aiden
butt.
Just, Aiden has the keys. And then he walks in and then she's like, Carrie? And he says, no, it's Aiden, as he opens the door. And she's like, don't come in, I'm naked. And he, of course, sees her. And then she's like, nope, I'll get up. And she literally cannot. She's like screaming agony.
Why haven't they called an ambulance?
Well, that's my question. Because the thing is, it's not like a life-threatening injury. But it should be clear at this point that if she can't get up,
Like, get an EMT on her.
It should be something more serious. So instead, they do this whole thing. Aiden's very sweet, and he handles it the best way anyone can. But basically, he, like, puts the towel on her back, and then they use the bath mat on her front, and he, like, hoists her up.
And he, like, compliments the smell of her bathroom, which is sweet.
It's very cute.
Aiden is, like, being a good guy.
He
is. And he gives her, he, like, touches her head in a really nice way.
This is the most charming Aiden is in this whole...
And I'm sure that this was fun to film.
...episode. I'm sure it was very fun to film. She, like, holds the bath mat in her teeth, and he kind of, like, drags her up. It's so funny. But, like, they get her up together, and he's so sweet about it. And, like, she handles it really well, honestly.
And so he, like, honeymoon picks her up, snug as a bug in a rug. Like, Aiden's a nice boy.
He is, which just makes it clear how much he's really doing a thing to Carrie.
And so Charlotte is running interviews for her job. All these, like...
Blonde white woman, blonde white woman, blonde white woman, brunette white woman. We love her. She's different because she looks like Charlotte.
Remind me to tell you a story about white privilege after this podcast.
Can't wait. So she interviews this girl who has the same major and minor she does.
She looks like a Poorman's Selma Blair.
Yes, she does. Exactly. That's like, same thought I had. Like a more interesting.
Ingenue-y Selma Blair.
And on her resume, it says her aspirations are to own her own gallery. And Charlotte's like, I think that was on my very first gallery. And the girl, of course, is like, did you own your own? And so she explains that, no, she loved this gallery so much, but now she's thinking about having a baby.
That Charlotte has ever conducted an interview in her life?
No.
Where she's like, oh, you like my space? You got it.
So the girl's like, this is the best space in the city, you know, this gallery. And Charlotte's like, I shouldn't say this with 30 other applicants out there, but you're hired. It's like, you have spoken to this girl, you looked at her resume and you've asked her two questions and now you just hired her.
And then she's like, well, why are you quitting this amazing job? And she's like, I'm gonna have a baby and I'm gonna cure AIDS.
Well, she says, I'm gonna have a baby, and there's like a moment where this like young 22-year-old who's ready to take her job kind of like looks at her like, really? And then she says, and I'm on the board of the Lenox Hill Hospital. And so she literally lies to this girl.
Yeah,
like, clearly she is feeling bad about her choices.
Carrie walks in. Her ponytail is long. She's wearing a newsboy cap, a black crop top that honestly I would wear. Her abs look like they have been manufactured in a factory.
Yeah, she's made out of stone. She's wearing a long, low cut
skirt. Like a crazy person.
She does. This page boy cap that she insists on wearing it's like a patty cap, and it's so bad.
I can't get behind the eponine cap.
I don't like any of it. She wears it a couple of times this episode. So this is her crashing boys' night. And Aiden is drinking alone at the bar, except he's not.
He's with flirting
with the bartender. And remember, not just any bartender, because he partially owns this bar. So he, like, knows her and hired her.
And she sees him and he goes, what's new, pussycat?
Always the weird fucking greetings with them.
I can't get over how beautiful Bridget looks today. I have been in a couple times this week. I've just texted her because she just, like, has astounded me with her beauty. And she's not on the microphone right now, so she can't talk about it, and I'm making her uncomfortable. But I just want you all to know how beautiful I think Bridget is.
Thank you.
Because she's the most beautiful person in my life. That's all.
I was uncomfortable, but also very happy.
She's talking to Aiden like he's a dog.
Okay, here's the thing. She is. Who's a better boyfriend than you? Who's a better boyfriend than you?
Who's a good boy?
Here's my thing. I think she's doing something that's fairly classic in her situation that's not a good thing to do, but where she's going so far to overcorrect. Like, she's idealizing him and, like, being so adoring.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, it's the exact thing where she's pushing. She thinks she's being nice, but it's like pushing is pushing, you know? And you are in his space making this worse.
And the worst thing happens is where she's like, hi, I'm Carrie. And if if Shayna, this girl, and Aiden are friends, you would think that
she would know about Carrie.
She was like, oh, Carrie.
And she also clearly doesn't feel threatened by Carrie's presence at all. She doesn't, like, back off. She keeps flirting with Aiden. Like, they're playing Jax with the peanuts. And then Carrie's like, where are the boys? And he's like, oh, they blew me off last minute. And she's like, sorry, where's Steve? And he's like, he got hungry, so he went out for a burrito. Like, he's clearly just, he's not even really making eye contact with Carrie. Like, he's just being flippant. He's pretending nothing's wrong.
And they, like, just continue playing this game. Now, this is, like, a bigger question, I think, of, like, the female, the male, the platonic friendship.
Carrie.
Because Carrie's now getting super anxious and like possessive.
But to be fair, Aiden is definitely fucking with her. He's definitely like, she should be anxious and possessive, but her reaction to it is to double down. She like cleans stuff off his face and he's like visibly like, why are you touching me?
Which like, I get this, but I would never, I like,
I wouldn't be able to do it though.
I wouldn't be able to do it either.
I would freak out in private somewhere else.
Yes, me too. I'm also such a like believer and proponent in like friendships, like maybe not like this where it's like so explicitly but flirty.
Like platonic male and female friendships or people who typically would be
people who are interested in each other who can have platonic friendships.
Yes, definitely.
Like, does that make sense?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Carrie's like, I don't have to work tomorrow because like, what the fuck is her job even really?
Yeah, of course she doesn't have to work tomorrow. So she's like, so you can come over. And here's the thing. When she said this, the way she said it, I don't have work tomorrow, so you can come over. I also thought she was meaning like, come over tomorrow. But then she says, I'll see you later. So she says, I'll see you later. And she leaves the bar and he keeps playing jacks with Shayna. Mm-hmm.
I thought that her candle said babies on it.
Well, she does. She has diptyque, whatever, however you say
diptyque?
It.
Diptyque.
Diptyque, that's right.
Diptyque.
Diptyque. Diptyque, that's what I'm calling them now. Diptyque. I like it. Diptyque candles, which is just like, yeah, those have been hot stuff for a minute. Also, that is asking for a pillow fire a la Brooke.
A sex fire.
So she waits up for him and he doesn't come.
Shocking.
But here's the thing. She and Miranda are talking in the morning. Mm-hmm. She goes over and she brings Miranda bagels. Miranda has like a huge, like a neck brace on, basically a foam neck brace. And she brings her bagels from H&H, which is my favorite bagel place in the city.
Me too.
Excuse me. I was so happy about it. Old school H&H. And,
I love bagels.
Miranda, me too. Miranda's like, that is so nice of you. And Carrie's like, yeah. And then she just launches into talking about Aiden, of course.
She's and like, Miranda's like, hold up. Wait a minute.
Well, here's the thing. So she gets far enough into it to say, so she called Aiden and Aiden said that he thought that she meant come over today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here's the thing. I was legitimately confused when I first saw this. So I think that's valid.
Yeah.
But he's definitely, you know.
And Miranda's like, this is bullshit. Don't bring me my cheer up bagels just so you can fucking talk about Aiden. You didn't even bring cream cheese.
And Carrie's like, but I brought the good bagels. She says, it's bad enough that you send your boyfriend when I call you. And now these bullshit bagels. Carrie's like, what? So he's saying you don't want one?
This is it.
And this is the real thing.
Okay, Miranda is like, if you fell, I would never send my boyfriend over to get you.
And yes, I know I don't have a boyfriend, but I would never fucking do that.
And I believe that.
And Carrie's like, dude, Aiden's better in a crisis than I am. I forgot your cream cheese. Look how bad a friend I am. Miranda's like, dude, he saw me naked on a bath mat.
Lying naked on the floor.
Did he tell you that? And Carrie's like, no, he's a gentleman. And she's like, yes, he was. But he was not you who I called. And Carrie says, okay, I get it. I will never send a boyfriend to do my job again. She doesn't really apologize, but she gets it at least. She says, do you want your bagel toasted? Kay. Miranda says, okay. And here's the thing. On those toasters, you have to dial that thing to turn them on. So she literally just shoves the bagels into the toaster and doesn't turn it on. She does nothing there. It's so funny. And she says, I'm going to burn your bagel.
She's turning it now. She was turning it in that shot. And then she's like, Aiden isn't like that. Aiden isn't big. Aiden's not going to have an affair. Aiden is a good guy.
Because Carrie's like, he was talking to this girl last night. She was whatever. And, well, also Miranda's like, Aiden's not you, you know.
Whoa.
He's torturing me because of what I did to him. And I deserve it. I deserve it, right?
Yeah.
No, see, it's not on. It's so funny.
Like,
I'd shrug, but it hurts. She says, got any jelly? So she knows what Aiden's doing, but she does the thing where she says she deserves it, but then doesn't actually believe that. Of course, because it's really hard to live your consequences.
Yeah. So dumb plot.
Dumb plot. Samantha's guy tells her that it's time for her to wax again. And understandably, Samantha's furious, and she and Carrie walking down the street, she's like, dude, I have to hack through a jungle to get to this guy's dick, and he's telling me, like, men expect us to go and have someone rip our hair off every 2 weeks, it's and what do they have to do for us?
She says, what, okay, again, this time Carrie's giving me, like, mobster, like,
it's terrible. She's wearing
baby
a,
mobster.
A full pin suit, except it's a capris. She is wearing suspenders with them and like a baseball stripe shirt underneath.
And then also this newsboy hat again.
And and Pete, the dog, really
another
adds
thing
to
that's
the...
like concerning to me is that Samantha's like, it's my week between waxes. Babe, you have to wait 3 to 4 weeks between waxes.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, like, yeah, well, she says we're expected to go every 2 weeks to Berta. Like, whatever her name is to...
That's not enough. You need to wait a little bit longer.
For the amount she uses it, Samantha does not know enough about her vagina and all of the things
it's
around
really
it.
It's really upsetting.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been bamboozled.
Yeah. Yeah. Bamboozled.
Bamboozled.
How would they like it if we told them to shape their hedge, trim their trunk, plant their bulbs?
I've never had a bad experience with a man. Boy, I guess. I'm a child. With a boy, and except once.
I have had one where I was like, wow, I did not want to put my mouth on that
and
dick.
It was, but he was of another country.
So was mine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, and well, we can share stories afterwards. Yeah. It was a bad one for me personally. It was like, I was really like, I'll never do that again.
Mine was, I was so focused on something else that I was like, maybe this is part of it. Oh,
it was bad for a specific reason. I actually hooked up with this person again and it was fine. So, you know.
Do I know them?
No.
Oh, great.
And she's like, Samantha's like, don't get me started on his back hair. And then Pete has diarrhea and Samantha is like, you don't even like dogs. Why are you walking this mongrel? And Carrie's like, I'm proving to my boyfriend that I'm trustworthy and loving, which trustworthy and loving. Not the way to go about that, by forcing yourself to do things you hate poorly.
Don't. She's like, watching a dog shit is going to make Big go away.
Which is a good question. The dog, the waitress. I don't know what happened with the waitress. And then Samantha says, how much longer are you going to be able to punish yourself? Which I think is a valid question to ask.
She's like, till I'm back in the nook.
And Samantha says, dude, that may never happen. And Carrie's like, you're right, but don't say that. And then it turns out that Pete's having diarrhea. Doggie diarrhea.
Doggie dog. He's got the runs.
The dog.
And it's like,
run.
How do you really clean run. Up a dog run?
Yeah, how do you?
Clean
you
up doggie diarrhea on the street. You kind of just have to, like, unless you've got a hose handy. Which
exactly.
Is like, I always carry a small hose in my purse. I don't know about you.
I carry several, so I'm slightly more prepared than you, I guess.
They call us hose, but not because of our sex lab, because we are always prepared with a water spritzer.
And old-fashioned tights.
and a small rake.
Which I also want to know how they trained this dog to. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Thanks.
How they trained this dog to walk with his butt hunched over like that. Like he's about to poop all the time.
This poor dog.
So she diapers Pete and they get in a taxi.
That's also like a crazy decision.
Not a terrible one, I guess. And then she sees Layla, Shayna, the bartender lady with two, has brought Pete coffee and he told, not Pete, sorry, has brought Aiden coffee and he told her he'd be like inside working with harsh chemicals all day and he's like sitting out flirting with her pretty obviously.
Yeah. And she's like,
so she hands him the dog and says, take
your dog.
I'm
sick.
Yeah. Your dog is sick. I'm leaving.
Bye.
And then she confronts him. She's like, last night and today you said chemicals and she was just waiting with your coffee and what, you just punishing me?
And he's like, keep your voice down, which is like a weird,
it is a strange response. And she says, look, what, he tells her that he and Shayna are friends and she says, fine, why don't you just fuck her so we can both be bad,
which is like shit. And yeah, then he shows up later at her apartment,
but it's definitely like the thing Aiden needed to hear, because as much as Carrie fucked up and is being annoying, like don't be with her if you're not gonna
want to be with her.
If Big is an issue for you, then don't be with her. Definitely don't respond by fucking rubbing another girl in her face. And he says to her when he shows up at her apartment, like,
it's all games, I hate games,
we didn't do anything, but I did think about it. And then Carrie does this thing that I fucking hate so much. There's a whole monologue again, you know, I would never do that to you, right? You know that. You have to know that, right? I would never do that to you
again.
And you're like, okay.
And
no, he doesn't have to know that.
Yeah.
Also, it's really one thing, and it gets worse because this is, I mean, what we've been skirting around from the beginning, but it would be one thing if you did not have this particular history with him or if the big call hadn't happened and he was just punishing
and,
you.
And also it's like, I think for Carrie, and I'm not defending her, but like in her mind, it's like they've sort of found this like nice friendship where like.
Her and Big, you mean?
Yes, yes, yes. Where like he's a part of her life in a way that.
Oh, right. She's definitely not being honest with herself. No. But she does think that they're friends.
Yes.
The thing with her response to Aiden, though, is it's like, you can't tell him how he should be feeling about this. You can tell him his actions have been shitty.
Yeah.
Which is true. But how on earth do you say to someone, I promise I won't do the thing I just did again? Like, you know I'm capable of it. I know I'm capable of it. This person's still in the picture. But you have to trust me.
And she's like, and he says, you can't see him again.
He says, I don't want you to see him again. And Carrie, without missing a beat,
says no.
He's in my life. And you're like, dude, then shut down this relationship. Shut this one down. Shut down most of the future ones until you figure out what that means. That the person you desperately wanted to be back with and that you supposedly want to be building your serious life with together. And you won't, under very difficult extenuating circumstances, say, okay.
It's not like, and I think that this is like a difference between like us and them.
Yeah.
Is that it's like, if this were to happen and like this scenario will never happen. Like I'm not, like, I don't think I'll ever like have an affair with someone, hopefully. But like the difference between like me and the majority of my exes is that they are in my friend group for the most part.
Right.
And like, I will have to see that person because of the people that I associate myself with.
She doesn't have to see Big.
She does not have to see Big. Big is nowhere near.
Her life would be way easier without him, without honestly. Him.
Yes.
He barely came into it, what, 2 years ago? Not even. No, 2 years.
Has that been? I think it's like.
Because they dated for a year and then a year, right?
Yeah, so it's like 3 years. Okay. Well, we're like in the middle of season four, so.
Right.
It's probably like three years since we've met them.
Not like he's a lifelong friend. Not like he was her first love. Not like any of these things. She doesn't miss a beat. And it's like, dude, you have to think about what that means. Granted, it's a big ask to say, I don't want you to ever see this person again.
Yes, because this case, is also.
I think it's warranted.
I think it is warranted because she was literally cheating on him. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he
is. The guy who clearly is still interested in her. Yes. If he's calling.
Well, just the way that he talks to her, the hey kid, the like there's a rapport between them that
and like an easy intimacy
that implies intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so to people on the outside, all you see is like intimacy. And like as someone who's trying to like.
I wouldn't want to battle that again after I had my heart broken and barely gotten over the fact. And I'm sure think
and
about
then
Mr.
had her
Big all
and
the
then
time.
Like had him crawling back.
Yeah.
Like Carrie crawled back.
She does. And it's like. She tries to hold these things to be all true at the same time where it's like you are at once the person who literally came crawling back to Aiden, want to be with him that badly, but can't see the reality that like this is a very reasonable thing he's asking you and what it means that you can't do it.
Yeah.
You should not be dating someone else. Yeah. Certainly not Aiden.
No.
Maybe you could try fresh with someone else and wait for Big to ruin that too. Burger perhaps?
Maybe that's why.
Who knows? Or maybe
Carrie fucks that up all on her own.
Right. Maybe she does.
Maybe
Burger fucks it up. You never know. That'd be fun. I know you do. Anyway, so this is like, it's like them reconciling and supposedly like being the adults they finally need
She's
to be.
Like,
and instead it's just infuriating.
You have to forgive me. You have to forgive me. She's just repeating it.
And then she has like a breakdown. She's like, you have to forgive me. 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 And then he steps into the room and like
hugs her
and is being sweet to her.
And
she's
ridiculous.
In a terrible outfit. Ugh.
And they, I mean, so he's so tall, so she fits right
she fits
where she
right
wants
to. Right
back
into her nook under his chin.
Honestly, I have four more female friends who I fit perfectly in their nook than I do male.
That's so funny. Yeah, you and Kyle are not nook compatible.
God, no.
By a long shot.
He's a noodly piece of bones.
He is.
I love his little face.
Yes, but he is
but
not
he's not someone I'm jumping to snug with.
Not a nooker. Samantha, next time she sees the guy, is like, you had a lot of nerve asking me to get waxed. Every time I blow you, I feel like I'm flossing.
Who is this guy?
He does look like someone, but I don't think
he looks
is.
Like Seth MacFarlane a little bit.
Yeah, but he's not. He's like hot Seth MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane
20 years ago.
Isn't not hot. So fucking, this is so crazy to me.
I don't know if not hot. Isn't not hot is fair. I don't know that I'd go any further than that.
This guy is, Samantha trims his hair for him.
I thought, so he's like, sorry, baby, how can I make it up to you? And she gets this devil look in her eye. And I was like, make him wax. Make him wax. And instead, she doesn't even make him shave. She shaves him. And she's like, she forgave him for the ask. And he got a lesson he'd never forget. And then he's like looking at himself in the mirror. And he's like, look how much bigger my dick looks. Like, yes, lots of good, important life lessons being learned.
Oh, he was on a one life to live for a long time. Did you watch Charmed?
No.
He's on Charmed. Okay. So now we're back at the gallery.
So Charlotte's hired this girl who is, it's her last day. And she's like, I think that painting should go over there. And the new girl is like, actually, I like it on the south wall. And Charlotte whirls around and goes, you're only 22. What do you know about life? I mean, art. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm taking some weird
this
shit out of
you. This girl is doing this, like, this thing I hate where she, like, is smiling through everything. Yeah. Where you're like, this girl, like, is, like, would murder Charlotte.
Yes, definitely would single white female her.
Yes, that's 100% exactly
the vibe.
What it is.
Yeah. And Charlotte basically is like, I'm sorry. I'm freaking out. And she does look gorgeous. She's like, work has been so important to me for so long. And the new girl says, if it makes you feel any better, my mom worked and she was never home and it would have been nice to have her around a little more. And Charlotte's like, oh my God, that's exactly what I needed to hear.
And she sees a mom and a baby and she wants to prove Miranda wrong, which is never a reason to do anything.
No, not to do, to prove someone else wrong is never a reason to do something. So she's like, she's going to cure AIDS and have her babies and prove Miranda wrong. And then
Miranda, in the meanwhile, is like,
her neck is better, but she's totally lying to work and playing hooky, which I love.
She's watching cooking shows like We Are Miranda.
Yes, 100%.
She's wearing PJs.
For the first time in her life, Miranda learned the joys of cooking and not working, which is exactly what, you know, she was shaming Charlotte for. Of course, she'd have to go back eventually just to prove Charlotte wrong. So here we have friendships based on
they
spite.
Haven't resolved anything.
And Aiden and them are, you know, they're fine. So she wakes up in the morning and they weren't quite back. And she's like, oh, I'm not touching him. But at that exact moment, he reaches over and snugs her. And so she's like, ah, yes. So I can see how as an 11-year-old, you were like, if I'm not sleeping like this with this person, it's not real and he doesn't love me.
I'm like, I have to be sleeping on his chest or I'll never be in love. But it's like, uh-uh. I guess it's maybe different when he's like a giant man and you can like sort of fit in and you're don't
and she's
have
a tiny bean, yeah.
A tiny bean. Oh, next episode's a good episode.
I've heard about ploppability.
I mean, what you said in the beginning about the answering machine not being an issue, but like, man,
the text,
but texts,
yeah.
Boy,
people
do they,
can, yeah, they fuck your
they
life
can
up.
Fuck with you up with a text.
Yeah, just picking the exact right moment to send or not send. It's really fun.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's just like, I feel like in general, all communication all the time is just like, so I almost am envious that they don't have access to that all of this all the time.
Yeah, it definitely makes things simpler in some ways for them. You know, all Carrie could do was send an email last time as opposed to being like,
hi,
do
hi,
I respond hi. To his Insta story? Is that casual or do I Snapchat him?
There are just so, there's so many access points that it's like,
it's too much.
You have to, you know where someone is or isn't at all times.
Imagine if Carrie was going through these breakups with that kind of power, knowing where and when, like if she'd been able to see like every ounce of Big and Natasha, like,
well,
on Instagram,
I don't think
like,
Big would be
doing
active on social media.
No, but she knows she'd stalk Natasha.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure, for sure. I don't know. It just is like, yeah.
But largely ploppable otherwise, I think.
Ploppable. I don't think the Charlotte issue, I think, is like, I think that would less women feel the need to.
Or it wouldn't be, certainly not until they were pregnant, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's one thing to get pregnant and be like, this is the choice I'm going to make for my life now, because for a lot of understandable reasons.
Yeah.
And, but to like quit ahead of time and be like, I'm going to focus on becoming pregnant and color me mine.
Color me mine is just like a crazy.
What a ridiculous. It's very Charlotte though. I like it. The specificity. Because I'm sure it's true, honestly. I'm sure somewhere Charlotte did walk by a color me mine and think, that's what I want to do with my life. Whatever that woman's doing.
Who did you resonate with?
Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
Deeply.
Yeah.
Not the injury so much as just like the friendship crux point.
Yeah. I definitely feel my Carrie tendencies. Like, I like see why she behaves the way she does and the effect that, yeah, like, and like just like trying to prove, and I have been there where I've like been like, oh, I have to prove to you that this other person doesn't matter, so I'm gonna like give you right. too much,
right?
But I think I've grown out of that since I was 20, you know, 22.
That's the other thing too. They're a decade older than us. This is what I mean. A lot of this feels like high school in the big city plot. Mm-hmm.
And then Miranda, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Sweet Miranda.
I just think she's perfect.
It's because she is. You know what's funny? This, like, the promo shot for season 4 that has all 4 of them in it, none of them look good. It's paused up on the screen. It is, like, unflattering of all of them. And you think for their, like, massive photo shoot, they could pick better photos.
Cynthia Nixon looks like she's doing subtle ugly. Uh-huh. Kim Cattrall's hair is just, like, looks like antennas.
Yeah, like, her head is... taking
Sarah Jessica flight. Parker looks way too edited.
Very edited. And to the point she doesn't look like herself. And Charlotte's eyes literally are looking in 2 different directions. It's not great. Anyway, yeah.
Delta up, delta down.
Yeah, you go first.
My delta up is that I watched John Mulaney New in Town twice in the past 5 days.
It's very good.
I really like
it. I've been meaning to watch it for a second time.
It's so good. I'm watching a lot of stand-up right now, and I did a puzzle in a day in Connecticut. Nice. I love puzzles. You know that about me.
What?
Yeah. And then my delta down is that I haven't had therapy yet.
Yeah, it's time.
I need to go to therapy.
Tomorrow, right?
Uh-huh. I'm just like, the planets are in a place, and I'm just
what
like.
What time do you do therapy on Wednesdays?
3:15.
Oh, I was going to say my therapy got switched to Wednesday, so we'd almost be at therapy at the same time.
When are
time.
You in therapy?
1. Oh. Sorry, planets, yes, all of that.
Tag team. It's just like Gemini, Mercury, Cancers, they're all happening, and it's all happening at the
There's
same time.
There's a lot of shit. New moon shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you said.
It's yeah. okay. I'm like.
Evolving.
Yeah. I think I'm truly having a quarter life crisis.
Understandably. It is. You are at that point.
I am at that point. I'm also just like, this is so stupid, but my birthday is next week, and I feel like I really resonate with being 25.
Oh,
there's
sure.
There's something about 26 that I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I am nothing. I don't know anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like no, 25, I'm like, I'm such a baby.
I'm 25.
But 26, I'm just like, well, Brooke, you need to make some big choices. And I'm like,
no, 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 no. Yeah, that's crazy though. We're gonna party.
We are gonna party. What about you? Delta, delta down, delta up.
My delta's up was I did a lot of walking outside this weekend, which was nice, and seeing some friends and
was
just
the city
chilling.
Nice this weekend?
Not super nice, although it was nicer than it was forecasted to be. Nice. Like, Friday was amazing, and then it was supposed to rain kind of, like, through mm-hmm. the weekend. Then Saturday was really nice, and then Sunday
yes,
and Monday
Saturday,
were okay.
Saturday was nice.
And I just have some, like, momentum and trying some
yeah,
new challenges.
Send Brugy good vibes.
Thank you. Yeah, send me forward momentum if you can. And then my delta down is, oh, I'm just a grump. That's all. I'm a grumpy baby.
Yeah, you know, it's hard when there are 2 grumps.
Yeah.
In a friendship.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But sometimes it happens that way because then there are 2 people in a friendship. Those are pretty high odds. There'll be mutual grumpies.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to my friend once about living together, mm-hmm. and I was like, we're great. We are great friends, but when both of us are in crisis, it is like a sinkhole.
Yeah.
And I cannot imagine being in a living situation where both of us create
oh God, yeah.
a sinkhole.
No.
Like, because we both.
Then the apartment just collapses inward.
Yeah. I was like,
Also, it's bug bite season, which fucking sucks. They love me. Oh. I step outside and I die.
I did go to the zoo last week.
Yes, you did.
And. I
finally got some Dippin' Dots.
I love the zoo. And Dippin' Dots is like, we got the big one, and it is a lot. It's hard to eat a lot of Dippin' Dots, which was surprising to me.
That is surprising.
Hot time, summer in the city.
So, Brooke, where can I find you on social media?
Oh, that's a great cue. You can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman. And you can find me on Instagram at Brooke_Wiseman. And if you put an underscore on my Instagram, I will
throw a boomerang that will find you and then come back.
When you least expect it. Bridget, social media, ma'am.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter at Mrs. Burr Macklin. You can find me on Instagram at Bridget M. 37. Mm-hmm. Collectively, we are at Splat Podcast
on Twitter, mm-hmm. on Instagram, mm-hmm. at Splat the Podcast on Facebook, mm-hmm. at splatpodcast@gmail.com, mm-hmm. and at splatpodcast.com.
Please rate, review, subscribe. Please send us Instagram messages and Facebook messages and email messages.
Give
and
us 5 stars and send us a text.
All of that. We love it. We love you guys.
We really.
Happy June.
This will come out on June. Everybody, stop what you're doing.
No, it won't. It'll come out Friday's June 1st. Sorry, boo. It is almost.
Everybody. Almost. Tomorrow. Just do yourself a favor. For me, mm-hmm. your friendly neighborhood Brooke. Mm-hmm. Google, YouTube, Leslie Uggams, June is busting out all over.
Oh, yes.
And it will be, it has to be good. And it is.
It's worth it.
It is so funny.
Yes. And every time.
It's every time. I watch. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
And with that, adieu.
Adieu.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.